The one who makes all things new, Jesus.
Yes. Why don't we offer him a praise right now as sincere as you can make it, God. I thank you, Lord, that you haven't just made me new in the past. But I thank you that you're able to do it again, God. And you're the God who makes us new and does a new thing. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. If there's any week for God to do a new thing in your life, I believe this is that week. We are not looking back, but indeed we are looking forward to what God is going to do this week and especially here tonight. The primary way that we're going to advance this week is by hearing and by responding to the Word of God. As I mentioned, we're excited to have Brother Rima Duncan with us at Apostolic Pentecostal Church this week. He's now serving as Metro Missionary to the city of Chicago. Brother Duncan, along with his wife Frederica and their son Judah, he has served in various capacities throughout Illinois District and beyond. District Youth Team, P7 Regional Coordinator, an Apostolic Evangelist, and now a Metro Missionary to Chicago. Brother Duncan has ministered to youth and families alike across the country. He now finds himself called to plant not only one, but as I understand, multiple churches in the city of Chicago. And I believe God is going to use him and others in that great city. But tonight, he has been sent with a word and direction from God. We want him to take his liberty from this pulpit. Brother Duncan, we welcome you to Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We thank you for being here. We want you to come and take your liberty.
God bless you. One more time, let's put our hands together tonight for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you're clapping them, why don't you open your mouth and give a shout of praise unto God. Hallelujah. Like you're excited to be in church to worship God on this Wednesday night. Come on. Let a sound arise from your lips to give God honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to the person next to you and tell them that I'm glad you're in church today. Hallelujah. Now, if they didn't really mean it, if they look like they didn't really mean it, why don't you just poke them and say it again. Say it again. So I guess every one of you meant it, huh? Praise God. Thankful to be in the house tonight, this Wednesday night here in St. Louis. Thank you very much for allowing me to share this weekend with you, your youth week. Thank you, Pastor Williford, Brother DeLong, all the ministers that are a part of this church and those that have made this event possible. Wonderful young people of this church. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you. And I feel like God has me here on assignment. Praise God. And just several things and several comments of people to me as I was coming in and things of that nature, just confirming some things that I felt. And I feel like God wants to do something special in somebody's life. You allow him to. Praise God. Praise God. How many want God to impact their lives this weekend? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love that you are adopting the theme, advance. Advance. It's a very intentional word. It pushes you to actually do something. You can't do nothing and advance. You have to do something. Everybody say, do something. Say, I got to do something. You can't do what you've always done. Because if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. Now, if you are satisfied with the results of what you've been getting, keep doing it. But if you believe that God has more in store for your life, if you believe that there's another dimension of what God wants to do in your life, you can't worship how you used to worship. You can't pray how you used to pray. Can I at least get some adults to amen me, praise God? Hallelujah. If you want to go another level, you got to take, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Advancing speaks of, you know, moving forward. And when we say the word advance, we're really referring to the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, spreading the kingdom of God throughout our local places and fields of labor. But before we can propagate the gospel and connect with people to speak for God, I really feel strongly that we need to anchor down the concept of speaking to God. Amen. Amen. You can't speak for God if you don't speak to God. It's quiet in here, but I'm going to say it anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to James chapter 5, verse 13. Very familiar scripture. As Brother DeLong mentioned, I am a Metro missionary. My wife, my son, and I, we are Metro missionaries to the city of Chicago. And we are currently on deputation. And to be here, we have paused our deputation travels to spend this week with you. And so I'm not just here just to, you know, just because I didn't have anything better to do. I feel like God wants to do something special here. And I'm honored to be the conduit and vessel through which to help you to get there. But I want you to be engaged with me. Come on. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach at you. Amen. Praise God. And the first thing it's going to take is for you to actually be interactive in the service. So if I say something that makes sense, at least go like this. Let me know that you're hearing me. Praise God. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Is any among you feeling oppressed or feeling like you're being attacked? Let him go on Instagram and post a sad face selfie and get depressed when nobody likes their sad face. Oh, it doesn't say that in your version? I must be reading from the New American Standard. Is any among you afflicted? Let him. Y'all don't like that word? Let him. Pray. Let him. Pray. Praise God. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let them stay home from church and complain when no one calls them, because everybody should have known that you were sick because you posted it on Facebook. And shame on you if you're not following me on Facebook, because you should have seen my post. Praise God. No. It says, if you are sick, call for the ministers, elders of the church, because they don't know you're sick until you tell them. That's a novel idea. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the prayer of faith is going to do something very intentional. When someone prays with faith, it shall. Everybody say shall. Now, that's a very intentional word. It means something is inevitable. It's going to happen. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In verse 16, very interesting scripture says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. Now, while I'm just in the vein of just meddling, I'm not going to meddle very long. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So the intent for you to share information about yourself with people is to the end that they would pray for you. So if the person you're talking to is not a prayerful person, you may be in trouble. And what you're telling them may not stay with them. Well, let me move on here. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I know that it refers to the male gender there, but it's not just talking about men. It's talking about mankind, righteous people. Effectual fervent prayer of righteous people availeth much. Or you can say that when righteous people pray fervently, it's effectual. And it avails much, or it makes much available. Amen. When righteous people begin to pray. Amen. Something happens when you open your mouth to address the heavens. Can I say this? You're not just beating the air. You're not just reciting words. You are communicating with the Most High God. Hallelujah. And it's the number one thing the enemy will fight in your life. Is your communication with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so tonight, reading this scripture, I'd like to speak on the subject, advance in prayer. Hallelujah. Advance in prayer. Why don't you lift your voice and help me pray that God would speak directly to you. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit, your power that's in this place, the worship that's gone forth. We ask you, Lord God, to join us today, Lord God. Take control of this service, Lord. Let your voice be heard. Let it echo in our minds and resonate in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, loose your power in this place to have its way. Loose the angels of the Holy Ghost to minister, hallelujah, to your people, Lord God. Even loose the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in this house, Lord God. We want to be impacted by your word today, Lord God. We don't want to be the same. We want to be challenged, Lord God, to go forward. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, clap your hands one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And give God praise with your voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take my thought tonight from the book of Acts as it's beginning to narrate the events after the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible says that he commissioned his apostles, the disciples, those that were following him, to gather in an upper room and wait for him, because Jesus had resurrected on the third day after he was died and was buried. And the Bible says he walked the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, being seen of many. And on that 40th day, the Bible says that he gathered with those followers and told them to wait for him in a place, an upper room, we call it, same place where they gathered to have what we know as the Last Supper. And from that day forward, they waited or tarried in that upper room until the promise of the Father was delivered unto them. And the advent of the first church was birthed in a place where they were tarrying, waiting on God. And they weren't just waiting, looking at their clocks and just wondering what's going to happen. They were worshiping. They were praying. They were in a sort of prayer meeting for about 10 days, an extended time to be in that upper room to pray. And there were several people that were there, hundreds of people. Some even believe it was upwards of 400 people that were in that upper room. But by the time that 10th day came, it dwindled down to just about 120. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says what was happening was that they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the birth of the church, hallelujah, happened out of a time of prayer. Praise God. Somebody was in a room
seeking God, hallelujah, waiting on him to speak and to deliver his message and even his spirit and power. They wanted to be empowered by God, and so they waited on him in a mode of prayer. And when God finally released what he wanted to do in that earth, something he had never done before, he did it with people that knew how to pray, hallelujah. And I want to tell somebody today that God wants to do something new in the earth, hallelujah. And you might say, well, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, there's nothing new under the sun until there's a virgin birth. And he initiates what he wants to do new in the earth with people that have an open line of communication with him. What God wants to do with this youth group, with this church, with this local assembly is going to be initiated by people that know how to have an open line of communication with the Most High God.
Know the story, we quote it all the time. Peter gets up, begins to give a discourse, and eventually tells them, if you want what we got, you got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. The Bible says by the end of all that, it was added onto the church 3,000 souls. And then in verse 1 of Acts chapter 3, the Bible says that Peter and his friend John, and they're kind of perusing their way over to the place where they're having some prayer. The Bible says they went to the temple at the ninth hour, being the hour of prayer. And they saw a man that was lame from his mother's womb, meaning he never had the use of his legs from birth. And the Bible says that before they went into the temple, people carried this man daily at the gate of the temple. And they saw this man at the gate of the temple. So they went over and he looks up at Peter and John. And when he realizes that he has their attention, he begins to expect to receive something, because he's asking for benevolence. He's asking for alms. He's asking for some charity. And Peter and John look at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, that's what I'm going to give you. I don't have what you're asking for, but I do have what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the Bible says he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple. Something he had never done in his life, hallelujah, happened at a time where people were going to pray. Imagine this, the very first miracle done outside of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost happened at the time when people were going to pray. Hallelujah. And it's not by accident that God chooses to do things new in people's lives when you have an open line of communication with the Most High God. You're not going to advance. You're not going to move forward until you know to open your mouth and address the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Everybody say prayer. Prayer is paramount. Prayer is a priority. It's not a choice. It's not, you know, just a maybe or, you know, I can do it if I feel like it. You can't survive without communication with God. I'm talking about spiritually. You cannot survive without communication with God. You will always fall. You will always fail. You'll never get a grip. You'll never find some continuity or consistency in your life if you don't have a communication with God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't expect to go forward in your life. You can't expect to have love sustained in your life. You can't expect to have peace of mind if you don't have an open line of communication with the Most High God. And that's why the devil fights so much against the church, because he wants to cut off your line of communication. Because once you don't have a line of communication with God, confusion steps in, doubt steps in, depression takes, oh hallelujah. But if you have an open line of communication, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You've heard from God. You have the heart of the master, and you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. You will worry less when you pray. You will worship more when you pray. Hallelujah. You will begin to, oh, praise the Lord. You'll begin to be able to understand things that are unknowable when you begin to pray. Hallelujah. Because God begins to download his thoughts into your mind. He communicates with you. And it can't happen any other way. You've got to have an open line of communication with the Most High God. Again, Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, there's a man by the name of Cornelius, if you can put it up there. Bible says that this man, Cornelius, he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Next verse. He's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I want you to realize that this man was not an Israelite. This man was not a Jewish man. This man was a Roman. As a matter of fact, he was a ranking officer in the Roman army. And to be a ranking officer in the most fierce and most, hashtag savage, you know, most savage army in the world at this time, you've had to done some things in your life to merit that position. And those soldiers were trained from very young to do one thing and one thing very effectively, strike fear into the heart of the masses by taking lives. And so this man had a tattered past. But at some point, he found himself being a devout follower of the Israelite God. And there are some that speculate that there was a centurion at the cross when Jesus died, hung his head. The Bible says that the sky went black and the earth began to quake. And there was a centurion that looked up at Jesus and said, truly, this was the Son of God. And some believe that this man, Cornelius, was that man at the cross. And if that's the truth, his encounter at the cross changed the trajectory of his future, where he didn't serve the Roman gods and idols anymore. But now he began to be a devout follower of the one true God of the Israelites. You got to understand how powerful this is. Because at this point in the scripture, there was no Gentile converts that had the Holy Ghost that followed the way of Jesus Christ. There was none that were filled with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, they weren't even reaching the Gentiles. It was a whole demographic that was not being reached. But God was getting ready to do something new in the earth. He was getting ready to open up a harvest that has never been tapped into. And he did it with a man. He wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't even have all the truth. But he had a prayer life. And he had oh, hallelujah. And God said, if I'm going to do something in this earth, and I can't find anybody else, I'm going to use a man that has a prayer life. The Bible says that an angel visited him and told him, your prayers and your giving has come up as a memorial before God. What you've done in the presence of the Lord has built something in the presence of God that God will respond to and God will not ignore. God says, as a matter of fact, this is what God said. He said, this is a memorial to me. I choose to remember this. You will say, well, why would God want to choose to remember anything? He's all knowing. Well, that's true. But he chooses to forget some things. Because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus and repent of your sins, he says, your sins I will remember no more. So if he can choose to forget some things, he can choose to remember. And the Bible says that he chooses to remember your prayer. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, you're not just beating the air. You're not just waving the wind with your words. God hears every word of every prayer that you've ever prayed. Hallelujah. And you are building something. It might be uneventful. It might be boring. But it's the most powerful thing you can do in your walk with God. You are building something that God will respond to. Bible says that he commandeered an apostle that wasn't even thinking of this harvest. Peter was up in some upper room, and the Bible says that God visited Peter, gave him a vision, told him about some unclean meats. He didn't understand the word, so he gave it to him again. And then he didn't understand it a second time. And so he gave him the same vision, the same word, three times, and he still didn't get it. I feel like that sometimes. God said, don't worry about the vision. There's some guys here that's going to take you to a place, and I just want you to go with them. So he's following these guys. He gets to Cornelius' house. Now, he's a Roman guy, ranking officer in the most savage army in the world, and you're stepping foot in his house. First of all, I'd be very afraid. God, if I knew you were going to leave me here, I probably would have argued with you. You would have won, but I would have argued. And he gets there. And when I'm reading this scripture, it dawns on me. He would have never gone there. Because Israelites don't dine with that kind. It was an untapped harvest. Oh, that's unclean. I don't go there. I'm not going to that pork roast, hog roast. They're having bacon over there. I can't go. I don't dine with the swine. We don't do that. God had to tell this man, don't call what I've made common or unclean. He wasn't really talking about food. He was talking about a harvest that he wanted to tap into. But God is not going to come back down in flesh to do it himself. He's looking for somebody that's tuned in with his voice. Hallelujah. He gets there, begins to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't even finish his message. He didn't have a formal altar call. He didn't even lay hands on anybody. The Bible says, while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost began to fall on those that were in that household. And the very first Gentile revival happened because some man had a prayer life and got a hold of God. You might not know how significant that is, but I don't know about you, but I'm not an Israelite. I'm actually a Gentile. Any Israelites here? Anybody here? You have Jewish roots? Nobody? Ancestry.com? Did your DNA test? Found out you were lost tribe? Oh, here we go. So that means over 99% of you are non-Jewish. And at this point in the scriptures, only Jewish people or Israelite blood people had the Holy Ghost. And the very first Gentile that got the Holy Ghost over 2,000 years ago was a man that didn't have it all right. His past wasn't beautiful, but he had a prayer life. Hallelujah. And God worked through the prayers of an unsaved Gentile man. And if God will respond to his prayers, how will God respond if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face? What can God do with your voice?
Hallelujah. Everybody say in prayer. The Bible says that this angel came to him at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. It was the ninth hour. Typically about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Because in the Jewish time schedule, the beginning of the day was usually sunrise, or usually that's around 6 a.m., what we would call. Sundown would be, 6 p.m. And so the first hour of the day would be 6 a.m. And so counting up, the ninth hour of the day would be 3 p.m. That was the time when God decided, I want to send this man a word. I'm going to visit this man. And I'm getting ready to start something that has never been done before. And because this man has been praying, I've chosen to use him. And I'm going to do something so powerful. They're going to log it. They're going to talk about it for decades, millennia. They're going to talk about this. They're going to be preaching about this at some youth rally. So Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about this man's prayers. Hallelujah. And it was around this time that, the Israelite people would go to prayer. They would go to the synagogue or somewhere secluded to spend time with God. And they wouldn't, pray like how some of us sometimes, pray. Maybe not you, but, us Cub fans up in Chicago. some of us. Oh, because we pray like we're praying for food, God is good, God is great, amen. But they didn't pray like that. They prayed for extended periods of time. They would pray even into the sunset. Maybe 2, sometimes 3 hours at a time. Praying, seeking God into what we would know as the changing between light and darkness. And we call that the twilight. And the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, that there was some guys that were sitting at the gate of the city. The city was besieged by the armies of the Syrians. The Bible says that there were 4 leprous men, meaning that these men had contracted a condition called leprosy. Leprosy was a bad deal. I mean, first of all, you got it because you did something wrong, sinned against God, did something off, wasn't following the law of God right, and it was a physical condition that kind of like eat away at some of your extremities. First of all, it started to affect your sensitivity, your nervous system, and take away your sense of feeling, and then begin to eat away at your flesh, kind of like a flesh-eating disease. I mean, so these guys would be having leprosy and fingers are falling off and chunks of their face probably eaten out, and walking around looking like the Walking Dead, whatever that is. So they're just leprous. This thing was so bad, it would get into the walls of your house. And the priest had to inspect it and make sure it didn't get into the walls of your house, because if it did, not only did they kick you out of the city, they would burn your house down. Bad deal. So these guys are on the outskirts of the city, just sitting, and they're looking at each other because there's a famine in the city, and there's a fierce army that's about to take control of the city, but everything is shut up. Nothing's going out. Nothing's coming in, but they're still sitting at the gates. And we're like, man, you know, we're really hungry. One guy's turning to the next. His friend is starting to look like a hamburger. Turns aside because he thinks he's hallucinating. He looks at his other friend. He's looking like a chicken finger from Raising Cane's with extra cane sauce. And they're like, we got to do something. There's no food back where we came from. So if we go back to where we came from, we'll die. If we stay here, we're going to die because we might eat each other. But if we fall into the hosts of the Syrians, we might die, but we might live. And even if as prisoners, even prisoners get some food. So they even saw hope in an impossibility. They couldn't go back. They couldn't stay where they were. They had to move forward. They had to advance. And the Bible says that they arose at the twilight and went to the host of the Syrians. The Bible says when they got there, the army wasn't there. No soldier was there. They had left all of the spoils, all of the food, and they got there. There's a bucket of fried chicken over there. There's a ribeye steak right here. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. So they're looking around this, all this food, everything that they could imagine to have, and even in abundance, more than they expected when they decided, we're not going to go back. We're not going to stay here, but we're going to go forward. But you've got to realize when they decided to go forward. They decided to get up and go forward at the twilight. Hallelujah. It was at the time when people would begin to pray in the Jewish culture. It was at the hour of prayer they decided to go. We're going to go to the... Oh, hallelujah. Bible says that as they were coming, God calls the enemies of Israel to hear the noise of a great army. 4 diseased broken, imperfect men that decided we're going to go forward. We might not have it all together, but we're going to try something. We're going to do something. Hallelujah. And we're going to do it at the hour of prayer. And when they went forward, God caused the enemy to be afraid of somebody that, looking at it with your natural eye, they could not destroy a whole army. But with God behind their choice to move forward, they could accomplish anything. They can do all things through the power of God that will strengthen them. And what am I telling you tonight? I'm telling you, you might not have it all together. You might have a tattered past. I'm telling you, if you would rise up in your prayer time and... if you would decide, I'm not going back to how I used to be. I'm not staying like this, but I'm going to advance in prayer. And when you do, God will back you up. I want you to stand with me tonight. God will allow you to accomplish things you couldn't accomplish by yourself. It's not because of you. God has some glory he wants to show in this earth, but he's wanting to use somebody to do it. God is looking for somebody, not just anybody, but he's looking for somebody that will hear his voice, somebody that he could hear their voice, someone who has an open line of communication. God wants to use that person to... These men had leprosy. They were at the bottom of the barrel. But God still used them. And if God can use the worst of the worst to accomplish the greatest victories, what can he do with you? It's not about your abilities. You don't have to be that person that everybody looks at and says, well, they're going to be something great in the kingdom. You don't even have to be that person that everybody looks at and says, oh, they're so anointed. You might feel like you don't even have a skill in the world. You might not feel you're talented enough or smart enough. You might not feel you're good looking enough. You might not feel you're good enough. But you don't have to be good enough. He's got enough. And if you get with him, you are the majority. If you get linked up with him, and the only way to do this, you've got to open up a line of communication. That's the only way this ship is going to go forward. It's going to go forward in prayer. You think, if you had a Fortune 500 company, would you want to employ people that don't come to staff meetings? Not at all. Would you give them the highest positions in your... would you give them the highest pay? They don't even come to staff meeting. They don't read any of their emails. They don't... you can even send them a text. They can be the mail guy. The CEO's texting the mail guy. That's an honor. And you don't read the CEO's text? You don't have an open line of communication with the one who you are serving, working with? It's dysfunctional. You can't advance in that realm, in that entity, unless you have an open line of communication. And to advance in this kingdom, is in this entity, you've got to have an open line of communication with the CEO. And he's always sending you some emails. And we all get his text. Or we all have his text.
Sometimes we're too busy reading everybody else's texts. And we don't read his text. The word of God. He wants to speak to us. But if we're not speaking to him, we're not going to listen for his voice. An open line of communication. Can I say this tonight? I know this is a youth week, and most of what we're doing is geared toward the youth age group. But can I say this? And please don't misunderstand or misappropriate anything I'm about to say. But we can't hold the young people to such a high standard if we don't model to them. Shame on us if we leave it up to the church to teach our children how to pray. They should already know how to pray because they see it and hear it so much at home. Oh, it's really quiet now. But if we're going to help them to advance, we can't sit back and take a back burner and just watch them do everything. And if they fail, we point fingers. Now, I've been in youth ministry a little bit, and I know how this works. So I'm not just talking here. I know how this works. He said, go ahead, so I'm going to go. We send them to youth service. Send them to Sunday school class. When behavioral problems come up and spiritual things arise, failures and different things, we're looking for people to blame. Oh, why didn't this? And he was supposed to, and they should have done. But the establishment of who your child is going to be will start in your home. And if they're going to advance in prayer, it's going to be sustained by an atmosphere that's prayerful in the place they spend the most time in. Amen. I guess I'll amen myself tonight. The place that they're most comfortable in. They're going to spend probably tops 3 hours in this place a week. But instead of hearing communication that's hostile, communication that lacks gentleness and love and peace, they need to hear some communication that's going to edify the advancement of the kingdom of God through them. And it's not just their responsibility. It's the adult's responsibility. It's our responsibility. So I feel drawn tonight, as we're closing our eyes and lifting our hands, if you're here and you have a student here or a child here, I wonder if you can find them and bring them to the altar. Why don't we gather together as families on this first night of the youth week and make some commitments? You don't have to wait till I'm finished. You can start now. Find your student. Even if they're a young adult, connect with them. We're going to make some commitments tonight, not just to God, but we're going to make some commitments to each other. Glory to God. And if you're here and your family's not here, link up with a family that you feel close to. Link up with some adults that you feel close to. If you're an adult, you don't have a child here, link up with a family that you regard their children in high esteem. I want us all to be connected together.
as we're lifting our voice to make a commitment to God, that we're going to open up a line of communication with Him. I want us to say it out loud. And not just commit to God, but commit to each other. You see, if I say it to God in my own private little way, there's no accountability. Yeah, I know I said it to God. Well, God will hold me accountable. Yeah, He can. But there's something happens within you when you know another physical person has heard your commitment and you've made that bond with them. It kind of gets imperative to you. Like, you feel like you have to do it now. Can we commit to our children? Can we commit to our families? Some of you that are here, you can commit to your husband, commit to your wife. I'm going to be a prayerful father. I'm going to be a prayerful mother. I'm going to be a prayerful wife, husband. I'm going to be a prayerful son. I'm not just going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for my mom. And I'm not just going to say I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it and let them hear me doing it. I'm going to live this out in front of them. The breakdown and the dysfunction happens right in the home. That's where it starts. The devil cannot bring down the church until he brings down individual families. He begins to meddle, do things, cause dysfunction, miscommunication, misunderstanding, mistrust, frustration. Don't start here. It starts there. But if we're praying there, we say that thing all the time, family that prays together. Well, can we measure our staying together by how much we've prayed together? I'm not just talking about here. Don't let your child leave to go to school without laying your hands on that child. Children, you hold them accountable. If they forget, you don't just rush out. You say, hey, mom, pray for me. Dad, pray for me. Pray with me. Some of you young people that are here, your parents might not be here today. You can model this for your siblings. Can we begin something here that's going to set in motion a momentum of advancement? Lift your hands right now in the name of Jesus. As you're holding the hand of that family member, or as you're close to them, I don't just want you to speak in tongues. I want you to speak in your own language. I want you to speak in your understanding voice, your native language, and I want you to make commitments right now. God, I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to make it a matter of priority every day. At the beginning of the day, I'm going to pray for my family, for myself. I'm going to pray for my children, for my spouse. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to have that open line of communication. So when you need to get a hold of me, you know how to get a hold of me. You know where to get a hold of me. I'm going to build momentums in your presence, Lord God. I'm going to build memorials in your presence, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, young person, say it out loud. I'm going to pray for my mom. I'm going to pray for my dad. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for my brother and sister. I'm going to pray for them every day. I'm going to let them hear me praying for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to fill my room, fill my home with sounds of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to cancel out every other belligerent sound that may be prevalent in my home. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to open my mouth, lift my voice, and begin to address the heavens. I'm going to model it. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. It might not be perfect, but I'm going to do it consistently. I'm going to build a memorial presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.